Today, on the second Sunday of Lent, we always have a gospel of the transfiguration of Jesus being shown in his glory before the apostles Peter and James and John. And paired with this reading, which is one of, you know, sort of glory and splendor, interestingly, our Old Testament reading is of the sacrifice of Isaac. And it seems a strange pairing, you know, in some ways. And trying to sort of figure out what was going on, what the connection might be. It seems to me that the key for us is in the word obedience. And the root of that word actually comes from listening, which is what the Father says of Jesus in the Transfiguration today. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Obey him. You know, that story of the sacrifice of Isaac, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, actually. Some people, very brilliant people, and, you know, I think people very devout in some ways, have kind of gotten themselves all tied up in knots about that. I remember studying back in college the philosopher Kierkegaard. He got himself all twisted up about this and couldn't quite ever get beyond, in some ways, the sacrifice of Isaac. The point of that story, though, actually is that God did not demand the sacrifice of Isaac. That's the point of the story. Not that he did, but that he didn't. And I think that that's highlighted for us because it's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen with Jesus and what's going to happen with God the Father, the one who speaks this voice. And we see that in the second reading today, a beautiful reading from Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. You know, Abraham's son was spared, but God the Father's son was not. That's sort of the whole point of the sacrifice of Isaac, is what didn't happen in comparison with what God the Father did and what Jesus did. That he did not spare his son the way that Abraham's son Isaac was spared. But nonetheless, Abraham showed his obedience, and that's what he was praised for. All the more so, the Lord Jesus Christ shows his loving obedience to the Father. And that's what we are called to in this experience of the Transfiguration. And how do we have the courage to do that, though? How do we have the courage to obey whatever it is that God might be asking of us? I mean, these things that are recounted for us today, literally, the word terrifying is used about them. That's what it says of Peter at the Transfiguration. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. This experience of Abraham being obedient to the will of God was terrifying, you know? To come before the presence of God, to be obedient to the word and will of God in every way, is terrifying. You know, we use the word, we've kind of trivialized the word awesome. You know, everybody goes, awesome. And we've kind of gotten beyond that. Maybe that's not quite as used quite as much as it, or overused as quite as it was for a while. But awesome is not a trivial word. It basically is the equivalent of terrifying. And as I mentioned to you before, the word awesome really technically can only be applied to God. God is the only one who really inspires awe. That's the only response we really can have to God. That's what we see with Peter, James, and John when they see Jesus in his glory. That is, as he really is. Not in the humble disguise of his humanity, or the even more humble disguise that we will see, well, how we will see Jesus at this Mass, in the humble disguise of the Holy Blessed Sacrament of the altar. But don't be fooled. This is the awesome God. This is the terrifying presence of God, who is utterly transcendent and utterly different from us. And really, all we can do is what Peter, James, and John do, is just to be in awe of the presence of God, that He is here with us. And then to see the incredible goodness of God, of the Father, who sort of relents. He doesn't push things to their... It, just like He did with Abraham. He let Abraham off the hook, right? He let him off the hook. And He lets us off the hook. He let Peter, James, and John off the hook, in a sense. That's part of the reason why he showed them Jesus in His glory, was so that they could be prepared for the horror of the crucifixion. So they would really know who Jesus is. And to realize that God is for us, as the second reading says. That first line of the second reading, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" was the motto of the seminary that I went to and that I worked at for a while before I came here. It's on the shield of the seminary. It's in Latin. It says, "Si Deus pro nobis, quis contra nos?" That's what it is in Latin. And one time the nuncio, who was the chancellor of the seminary, came and he was asking, this when they had younger students, if anybody could translate that, the motto. And one of the younger students shot up his hand and he said, "If God is for us, why are they all against us?" That's not the right translation. But it's the way we often feel, is it not? It's often the way we experience our life, our Christian life, right? Sometimes we may even feel that God is against us. And that's why we need to remember the correct translation. "Si Deus pro nobis quis contra nos" is, if God is for us, who can be against us? The assumption is God is for us. That's the whole point of this. God taking us off the hook. And so we can trust Him in everything. And the best thing we can do is to obey, to listen to Him, to seek His face. To be one thing, Peter, you know, Peter is such a fun, one of the funny, you know, apostles. He gets things wrong so spectacularly sometimes, but when he gets things right, he really gets them right. And he gets it right in the gospel today when he says, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. It is good that we, you and me, that we are here before the awesome God. The terrifying God who in His mercy and His love and tender compassion for us lets us off the hook. And so let us stay with Him. Never forget Him. As it said in the opening antiphon of Mass today, seek His face. Keep His face before you always. That terrifying and awesome face of Christ, but also the merciful and compassionate face of Christ. And listen to Him in everything. His way is always the best way. That's what our Blessed Mother tells us to do. Do whatever He tells you. You know, I think that's one thing, maybe through some of this experience of this pandemic, you know, our world doesn't really have a whole lot to offer us, does it? It's a mess. It's a hot mess. Why do we prefer it to Him who offers us everything? Even if it's hard or we don't understand it. Lord knows Abraham didn't understand what God was saying to him. Do whatever He tells you. listen to him, because God is for us. That's the point.